The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Luke chapter number 5 and verse 16. And we'll read down through verse 26. The Bible says, "And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed." Let me start that verse again. "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today." Let's pray. Lord, we ask your blessing now upon the preaching. Help us to see these truths and make application to our lives. Help me as I preach, Lord. Use me this morning as your instrument and as your vessel to convey these truths. Forgive me of my own shortcomings, my own failures, my own sin. I admit to you this morning, I'm an imperfect person. But I'm so thankful that I have a perfect Savior. So I ask and pray that by the time, again, all is said and done, these truths will be brought forth in such a way that they'll be real to us. And most importantly, I pray that if there's someone here today that's without Christ, today they'd be saved. They'd recognize that they're a sinner. They'd recognize they need to accept Jesus as their Savior, be born again into the family of God, have eternal life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. So I was going to, was wondering this morning as we approach, you know, the Christmas season, maybe I would depart from this series or just skip back to perhaps chapter 1 or chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke and preach a more of a Christmas-type message. And as I was reading through this text here, if you notice in verse number 21, look at verse number 21, the last three words, they just stuck out to me. But God alone. But God alone. Normally when this text is preached, I've preached it this way and I've heard it preached many times, the emphasis on the text is usually placed upon the men that bring the man who had palsy and how they got this man to Jesus. And truly, that's a good message. This man was paralyzed, but he had friends that wanted him to, they wanted to get him to Jesus because they knew that Jesus was this man's answer. And it's good to have friends that see that need. Amen? And so that's a great message to preach. And it's really part of a message that could be preached with regards to this season and what we're trying to do, whether it's on September or December the 17th or on the Christmas Eve service, or you have friends and you have family members. They need to hear about Jesus. That's why I said, when you see that on Facebook, just hit the like button. It's an opportunity for people to hear the gospel. But I'm not going to preach on that text, part of the text this morning, because I noticed, and if you notice on your handout, there are 5 points to this message. The first 4 points are really dealing with 4 questions that are asked. And the questions that are being raised here, some are being raised by the scribes and the Pharisees, and then also we'll see that Jesus asks a question back. And I want you to see, and of course the title to this message this morning is set, as believers, those things most surely believe, we believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Amen? That Jesus is the God-man. That Jesus became God, is God. And so I want you to see that this morning as I preach this. So, again, I've already told you this man, he's paralyzed, and his friends get him. They open up, they bring him, they can't get to Jesus, so they open up the tiles in the roof, and they lower Jesus down. They did whatever it took to get their friend to Jesus. And the Bible says, at the end of verse 18, they sought means to bring him and to lay him before him. And then in verse 19, they couldn't find a way, so they through the multitudes, they went to the top of the house, they let him down through the tiling, and there he is, laying on this couch that he's laid on for his entire life. And when Jesus, it says in verse 21, he saw their faith, and there, you have to picture this, there's a multitude of people around him. And the scribes and the Pharisees and the doctors of the law, they're all there. And Jesus says, as he looks at this man, he says at the end of verse 20, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Now, he hasn't healed him yet. But when he makes that statement, in verse 21, the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason amongst themselves. And they ask this question, and it's really the first point. They ask the question, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies?" So who is this? Who is the person of Jesus Christ? That's what they're asking. And they're saying, this man blasphemes. He speaks against the things of God. Now remember, these are the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders of the day. But they ask a question. And it's a question that many people ask. In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about the Christmas program and Christmas carols, and Ethan was getting some back and forth and feedback from everyone. And I reminded, when we're talking about Christmas music and Christmas carols, that part of his mother's testimony is this, that when she was a little girl in school and they would sing Christmas carols, she was raised in a home where they never went to church. They never talked about Jesus. There was no Bible reading in the house. It was somewhere between borderline agnostic and atheist. And she heard Christmas carols at school. They were singing about Jesus. And in many ways, she went home and had the same question that the Pharisee, "Who is this? Who is this that they're speaking about?" And it wasn't until many years later in this church. That somebody told her who Jesus really was. And she got saved. They wonder, who is this? Because who is this? Who is this person of Jesus? In John chapter 1 and verse 14, we're reminded, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Who is this Jesus? If you're here this morning and you're wondering, just like the scribes and the Pharisees, well, who is this Jesus? I want you to understand this morning that this Jesus that we're talking about, He is eternal. He is from everlasting. He is God that became a man. God became a man. It is one of the most astounding. I say this often when I preach about this. It is just amazing to me. In fact, I was witnessing to somebody on Friday, and I was saying to them, it's just one of the most amazing things that God, the infinite, the pure, perfect God, the all-powerful God, the all-knowing God, that He would become like His creation, that He would become a man like you and I. In Matthew chapter 1, I have it on your handout for you, and when the angels appear unto Joseph, and Joseph finds out that Mary is with child, the Bible says this, "Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted," and would you read those last three words with me? "Being interpreted is God with us." God became a man. So they're asking this question, who is this? And if you're here this morning, you're saying, well, who is this? God became a man. Christmas is about God taking on human flesh and human form. Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? And then look at the next question they ask. It lends itself to the second point, the purity of Jesus. And it's a legitimate question. They say, and the reason they said, this man, by saying to this man with the palsy, "Thy sins are forgiven," that's blasphemy. They say, only God can forgive sins. Only God can do that. Which is true, amen? Only God can forgive sins. Who can forgive sins but God alone? As I read that, I thought about, yeah, that's the purity of Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. Hebrews says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." Now, would you read those last three words? I'm going to start that verse again. Read those words I have for you there. "But was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." The purity of Jesus. That's why He could die for your sins. Because He was without sin. Every other person that walked in this world is a sinner by nature. We're all sinners by nature. You were born into this world as a sinner, but not Jesus. He was born into this world, the virgin birth. It's about being God coming into this world. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and she was with child. She was with the Christ child. And Jesus is born into this world without sin. He was the holy thing. Look back, take your Bibles, go back to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1, look at verse 30. Oh, that's a nice sound. Hear all those pages turning? You don't hear that in every church. Don't take that for granted, what you just heard there. You don't hear that in every church. Bibles turning, pages turning. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. "The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." By the way, the name Jesus, it means Jehovah, the Savior. "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And although Joseph and Mary had been are espoused, they had not yet come together physically to consummate the marriage. And the angels answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, look at it there, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The holy thing. The reason Jesus could come and die and pay for your sins is because he's holy. He's holy. It's the purity of Jesus. He is the spotless Lamb of God. Someone said, and I put it on your handout, it's on the back of your handout, it was necessary that this human nature should be pure and free from the corruption of the fall. All of us were tainted by the corruption of the fall. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 5, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men, for all men have sinned. We're all born into this world as sinners, but not Jesus. He took upon himself the form of a man. Hebrews 7:26 on your handout says, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. So you go back to Luke chapter 5. So the Pharisees there and the law keepers, well, who is this? Who is this? The person of Jesus Christ. God became a man. Who can forgive sins but God alone? To do so is blasphemy. So they were beginning now to understand that Jesus is identifying himself, for him to do this, he's identifying himself as God himself. Now the perception of Jesus. Now Jesus asks the question in verse 22. So when Jesus perceived their thoughts, let me just stop there for a minute. Isn't it sometimes a little bit daunting, or maybe that's not the right word, but you understand this morning that Jesus understands all of your thoughts right now? Whatever you're thinking right now, whatever you're thinking, he understands your thoughts. So he knows if you're listening to the message or if your mind is wandering off, he knows those thoughts. You're thinking about your favorite football team, and you're not. He knows those thoughts. You're thinking about the ugly sweater contest. He knows those thoughts. You mentioned the ugly sweater contest. It's funny when you have kids, you know, they fight like cats and dogs, but then when they leave for college, they all cry. He knows your thoughts. But that's good. Sometimes we go through troubled times, and it's good that Jesus knows our thoughts. Amen? He knows when we're going through tough times. He knows when we're going through good times. He knows our thoughts. I mentioned my wife and her testimony. Isn't it something that God... that God knew her thoughts as a little girl? And whether you're a young person or a teenager or an adult, God knows your thoughts right now. Isn't it something that this is a little girl raised in a home like that, that he knew? God could take a Christmas carol. One of my best friends, probably my best friend in the ministry. Listen, God, it's amazing what God can use. My best friend, I would say, in the ministry, Pastor Tim Taylor, young man raised in similar situation as my wife, someone invited him to, or he went to see a very ungodly play. If you're my age, you can remember this. It was the play that was on Broadway. I think they made a movie out of it, but I don't remember. And there was a whole, dating myself, there was albums that were put out. It was a very ungodly play called Jesus Christ Superstar. He went to see that. God even used that to in his mind. Who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? Because God knows our thoughts. He knows who's searching. He knows who's hurting. He knows who's yielding for the or yearning for the truth. He knows everything about us. He knew about this man with the palsy. He knew the heart of the Pharisees. He knew there'd be people there, a whole crowd of people. Listen, this isn't just a little isolated event. There's a crowd, a group of people there, and everybody's kind of watching. He knew that all of these people, that there would be a point now that this group would disperse. And people would begin, after this event, they would talk to their friends. They would talk to their neighbors. They would talk to their co-workers. Jesus perceives that. Come now, he says, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Verse 22 again, look at it. So when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them. And he asks this question, what reason ye in your hearts? I know what you're thinking, he says. You don't need to turn there, but I just put on your handout for sake of time. Don't turn back to. But if you went to back to Matthew chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, that's when, again, that's Joseph, and he's come to realize that Mary is with child. And if we were to turn back there, I wrote it for you here in the Scriptures say, while he, Joseph, thought on these things. And if you remember, he thought, he wanted to put her away privately. But God knew what Joseph was thinking. And then God sent the angel to speak with Joseph and tell Joseph exactly what was happening. It's God's perception. What reason ye? And then he asks the next question, verse 23. He says this to the crowd and to all those, whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? And now we see the power of Christ. You see, the emphasis here is on the words to say. He asks them, is it easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? And I think he knew their hearts. Listen, if this was the day, and let's just say Ethan was the man with palsy, anyone can go up and say to him, thy sins be forgiven. Follow what I'm saying? I could come to Kent, thy sins be forgiven. And someone, well, how do we know? How do we know his sins are forgiven? Now, you and I believe because the Word of God tells us, amen? But you have to understand this. There's Jesus in this crowd of people. And they're all thinking, well, wait a minute, the Pharisees are right. Only God can forgive sin. And many of them might have thought, well, this Jesus, he's a great teacher, and he's even a miracle worker. But you could go to anyone and say that. Amber, thy sins be forgiven. Jesus knew their hearts. And he said this. Basically, he's saying this. To show you that I have the power to forgive sin. This man who had and been crippled his whole life. Unless the people there knew that. He said to that man, take up thy bed and walk. And now that entire life, that man, that couch had cradled that man. And now the man, the Bible says, immediately got up. And instead of the couch cradling the man cradled the couch and walked out of there. Wow. You see, the picture of the man as a cripple is a picture of all of humanity, all of mankind. We're all born crippled. We're all helpless. Someone brought you to Christ. Someone gave you a Bible. Someone brought you to hear the gospel. Someone gave you a track. Someone, you heard somebody on the radio or somebody on television. Somehow, in some way, God uses people to bring other people to Christ. Just like this man. And here he's identified. Great questions. Who is this person? He's the Son of God. God became a man. But only God can forgive sin. That's right. He's God in the flesh. Jesus knows the hearts. And there's the power of Christ. Someone wrote this, and I wrote it down because it's quite lengthy, but listen. The emphasis is to be on the words to say by showing his ability to work in the realms of sight that which is impossible, namely the healing of the sick man. He could place before them proof suited to their own reasoning that he had a like ability to work the impossible in the realms of the unseen. You get that? That's the point I was trying to make. The unseen is, thy sins be forgiven thee. But take up thy bed and walk. People could see that. They could see the power of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of man's sin, the omnipotence, the all-powerful. And all through Jesus' ministry, he would display his omnipotence, and he would display that he was an omniscient and all-knowing God. And then the last point of the message, it's not a question, it's just a observation. And it is the passion of Jesus Christ. The man with the palsy, like every one of us, before we got saved, we all had palsy. We were crippled. We needed the Spirit of God to touch our hearts. We needed the Spirit of God to convince us that we were sinners. We needed the Spirit of God to convince us that Jesus came to die and pay for our sin. We needed the Spirit of God to put our faith and trust in Jesus. And whether it was a little girl who heard a Christmas carol, whether it was somebody's mom, who somebody wrote them a letter, as we heard a few weeks ago on a Sunday night, whatever the situation, they were crippled. They received Christ. And immediately, they began to walk. They began to walk by faith. They began to walk by faith. And have you heard this morning the passion that Jesus had, not only for this crippled man, the passion he had for the multitudes, whether it's this multitude or elsewhere in the Scriptures, all the Bible says he looked upon the multitudes with great compassion. They were as sheep having no shepherd. And he came. He came for you. Whoever you are this morning, he knows everything about you already. There is no sin that you could ever commit that's too great that he can't save you from. The only thing he can't save you from is you rejecting him as your Savior. That's where you come in. You have to come to terms with the fact, because the Bible teaches we've all sinned. We're born into this world as sinners. You have to understand that. We've broken God's law. We're sinners by nature. But Jesus came. He was born in a cradle 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect, sinless life, and then he hung on the cross. And as he hung on that cross, all of your sin and all of my sin was being placed upon him. He was paying your price because he loves you. He was paying my price because he loved me. And one day, as a 24-year-old, I bowed my head to receive Jesus as my Savior. And you all, each of you that are in this room, you all have your own story. It was that day that Jesus said, man, thy sins be forgiven you. Take up thy bed and walk. And what a great journey it is. Bow our heads for a word of prayer. You're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, Listen, right where you sit this morning, you can do that. If you understand you're a sinner, do you understand that? For all have sinned. We're all sinners. Every one of us. That's why Jesus came. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But God commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christmas is about the Savior coming into the world to die and pay for your sins because he loves you. It's amazing. Because he is God, he knows everything about you. In fact, he knew about you before you were even born. From the very foundations of the earth. If you'll call upon him, Jesus, in your heart, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that. Jesus, I believe you died and you paid for my sin. Jesus, I call upon you now to be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. I give my life to you. It's a simple prayer. It doesn't have to be those exact words. But if you're here this morning, if you'll cry out to him, call upon him, Lord, please save me. Please save me. Right now, right where you sit, Lord, please save me. I am a sinner. I need to be saved. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We're going to sing a hymn and the service is going to come to a conclusion. But if you're here this morning and you called upon Jesus to save you, let me let you know too that the majority of people in this room at some point, at some time, whether young or old, they called upon Jesus to be their Savior by faith. And the journey began. If you this morning ask Jesus to be your Savior, would you do this? I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to ask you to do anything but this because I want to pray for you as you grow in your faith, as you begin your journey. If this morning you said, I did ask Jesus into my heart, I prayed. Would you just slip up your hand quickly and put it down, anyone at all? Preacher, this morning I did. I asked Jesus to be my Savior. Today was the day. Thank you. I see that hand. Father, we ask and pray your blessing now. We sing this hymn of invitation. Lord, help us to sing it with a heart of adoration, remembering the day that we took up our bed and walked. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.